Pastor, isn't it great to be in church tonight? I know you've enjoyed the good singing. Boy, it sets a great atmosphere for worship and preaching. And I can tell there's been some worship and preaching going on just by the way the atmosphere is at the house of the Lord. Don't you appreciate all our good singing tonight, huh? You know, sometimes you get in meetings and the singing, I'm telling you, it kills it graveyard dead. And then they want me to be an apostle and resurrected. But that's a kind of a hard thing to do. I appreciate y'all so much. So good to be with Dr. Caswell, Sister Caswell. Great people of God, great friends the Lord's let us meet in this journey. Tonight for a little bit, and I know we've got a lot more going on, I want you to look in Acts chapter 2 and also the book of Ephesians in chapter number 5. Acts chapter 2 and Ephesians in chapter number 5. I'll read just a few verses tonight and try to move along into what I believe the Lord has on my heart this evening. Appreciate my son Matt traveling with me. We used to travel all the time when he was growing up, him and his brother. And this is a rare occasion for us to get to be together like this. And I'm so glad to have him with me tonight. I want you to look here in Acts chapter 2 and look in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Look in verse number 12. The Bible says, "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing that it is but the third hour of the day." Now, if you turn to Ephesians 5, I want to catch one verse there, and we'll spend most of our time tonight in chapter 5 of Ephesians. Ephesians 5 and verse number 18 in your Bible. The Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Let's read that again. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Let us pray. Father, it is a joy to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Always good, Lord, to hear the Aulis family, our great friends, and Lord, our new friends we heard sing tonight from Florida. And I pray you'd bless them real good. Now, Father, here it is falling upon me to try to preach a little bit tonight. And I know, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. I pray you'll pull our attention to what you want said. And Lord, all that's accomplished, we'll give you the glory for it. For it is in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. There's confusion about Pentecost. You see, Pentecost is not a religion. It's not a denomination. Pentecost is the number 50. It's the 50th day from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's when God sent mighty Holy Ghost power to those early believers there in that text. But I want you to notice something tonight that's really unusual and really unique about what these men were accused of when they got filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in verse 13, people mocked them and said, these men are full of new wine. Well, what they were saying was, well, these men are drunk. These are a bunch of drunks. Isn't it amazing when they got filled with the Spirit of God, They were called a bunch of drunks. Well, Peter answered them correctly in verse 15. He said, "For these are not drunken as ye suppose." Now, he didn't say they were not drunken. He just said they were not drunken as ye suppose. You see, this idea of being drunken is to be controlled. You see, when a person drinks strong drink and they get drunk, what's happened? The strong drink has taken over. The strong drink is their power. The strong drink has enabled them. Well, Peter said, "No, these are not drunken like that, but these were filled with the Holy Spirit of God." Now in our text in verse number 18 of Ephesians 5, we see the same concept again in one verse of Scripture where Paul says in verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Isn't it amazing, such an unholy thing and such a holy thing is in the same verse? You see, there's a parallel. There are comparisons. You might think it odd tonight, but did you know there's a lot of ways that a drunk person compares to a person filled with the Spirit? You say, how in the world could a Spirit-filled believer have anything in common with a person that's drunk? Well, I jotted a few things down. I'm not preaching on this. It'd be a good thing to preach on. But you take a person that's drunk on wine, that person will say things they wouldn't normally say. And I promise you tonight, if we get a fresh filling of the Holy Ghost, we'll say things we wouldn't normally say. You ever saw a drunk person? They'll attempt things that are absolutely impossible. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, we get full of God, we'll attempt things that's far beyond our power. We'll attempt things that are impossible. You take a person drunk on wine, man, they've got boldness beyond compare. It's like they're not afraid of nothing. And you know, if we get filled with the Holy Ghost, we'll have boldness. I said we won't be afraid. We'll fear nobody but God and march on for His glory. I really like this one, Brother Billy. You know, when a person gets drunk on wine, they've been known to become very generous. Where'd my amens go? They'll set up the whole bar room. They'll spend their whole paycheck. Because when they get drunk, that wine just seems to make them generous. And I tell you, we got a problem at the house of God when people are not generous in their giving to the Lord. I believe it's just evidence we need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. You pastors and preachers know tonight, when you start preaching about giving, man, it's just like a hush falls over everything. But we get full of God, we'll become generous, and it will be more blessed to give than it is to receive. You know, a person that's drunk on wine, they just ignore negativity. It don't matter what you say to them, they just keep on going. You know, tonight it don't take much negativity. It don't take much persecution. It don't take much to shut down the average Baptist church member. But when we get filled with the Holy Ghost, I make you a promise that negativity won't stop us. We'll just keep marching on for God. You know, a person drunk on wine, and I'm not preaching yet, I'm just getting warmed up. But a person drunk on wine, they've been known to be jolly, to be happy. Maybe when there's nothing to be happy about. You know, that's the way God's people supposed to be. You know, some of the saddest, most miserable people I've ever met are people sitting in the pews at the house of God. if there ought to be a happy people, if there ought to be a joyous people, it's we that's been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ and washed our sins away in that precious blood. You know, a person drunk on wine, you ever notice their appearance? Man, they may not have their appearance right. I've seen men that were drunk, and when they were getting dressed, they got their buttons out of line and their shirt tails like this. But I'll be honest with you, it don't care. They don't care how they look. They don't care what you think about how they look. God give us some Christians that don't care what this world thinks about how we should look. This world does not dictate to God's people how we're supposed to look. They might think we're like the drunk and our dress just ain't quite right, but I'd rather pattern my dress and my appearance after the saints in the Bible, after the Word of God, than to follow the patterns of this old world. Can someone say amen? You know, a person drunk on wine, they only want one thing, more drink. You get filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to want more. It's not a one-time experience like the unscriptural charismatic movement would have you to believe. No, no. It's not saved one day, sanctified one day, filled with the Holy Ghost one day. No, that's not the way it is at all. You see, to be filled with the Holy Ghost is not a one-time experience. It's an ongoing experience. Dr. Stennett Ballew used to say this. He taught us younger preachers long ago. To be filled with the Spirit is like taking a 5-gallon empty bucket. Put the water hose in the empty bucket. Turn on the spigot. And when the water gets all the way to the brim, then you just leave it running. And that's the Spirit-filled life. We need to be filled tonight, and we need to just leave the spigot on. It's an ongoing process. You know, a person that's drunk on wine, if you get them away from the drink, guess what happens to them immediately? They immediately begin to sober. They lose the influence of the strong drink. I'm going to tell you something, friends. We got to stay with it. We've got to stay after it. You can't lay out of the house of God at home when you ought to be at church. You see, when you get away from this, you start sobering, and the Spirit of God begins to lose His influence in your life. Can someone say amen? I'll give you one more, and then I'm going to try to preach a few minutes. Y'all still with me, aren't you? You know, a person drunk on drink, it always leads to addiction. They get hooked on it. They just got to have it. Did you know being addicted is a biblical principle? Did you know in 1 Corinthians 16:15, the Bible said the house of Stephanas addicted themselves to the ministry? Well, friends, I'd like to see some people get hooked. Whoop, I'd like to see some saints get hooked. Our churches have become full of addicts, but I'm afraid it's not addicts on the Holy Ghost. It's addicts on drugs, prescription drugs, and everything under the sun. What we need tonight is a fresh filling and a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I want to just go to the pulpit and Brother Billy just say, "My name is Don Anderson. I am an addict. I am hooked on this thing." You know, I come tonight because I'm an addict and I need to get a fix. Amen. How many of you need a fix this evening? But it's not with wine and drugs and wicked vices, but it's the precious Holy Spirit of God. You know, there's no truth in my life as a believer that has affected me more than the truth I'm preaching. I was just a young kid preacher coming on, and I began to hear those men of God of that day
Most of them's in heaven now, but they preached much about being filled with the Spirit. It seems as time goes on, we're hearing less and less about being filled with the Spirit. I've been around Baptists all my life, and here's what we're notorious for, Brother Ollis. If some religion misrepresents the truth, then what we do is just run the other way hard as we can. You see, there's a lot of misrepresentation. There's a lot of confusion about the filling of the Holy Ghost. But just because somebody misrepresents it, it doesn't change the fact that we need to present it correctly. I say, church, tonight, there's nothing that you need more in your life as a child of God than a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. A fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. I'm in churches every week, and I see people come in, and they got their feelings all stuck out, and boy, you better not bump into their feelings. Well, you know, an old drunk, they're not easily hurt. I mean, there's been situations where the old drunk boy or the drunk gal should have died, but there's just something about it. They're not easily hurt. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you won't get hurt so easily every time somebody bumps into your feelings. I say amen. I was coming in from Bible college one night teaching a class, and it was late at night. I was out on an old country road, Brother Matthew's, all by myself and heading to the house, and I saw some strange lights up ahead. I mean, it looked weird. They were going around like that. So I started slowing down because I couldn't tell what it was. Well, a little Chevy S10 Blazer had flipped right in the middle of the road. It was on its top, and I was so close to him flipping that the thing was still spinning on its top right in the middle of the road. Boy, my heart fell. I thought, I've got to help them people. I didn't know what the situation was. I got up close, stopped my vehicle, put my flashers on, jumped out, looked like every window in that little Blazer was broken out. And I thought, Lord, how in the world am I going to help who's in there? And I got down, looked inside that Blazer, and I saw there was one man in there, and he is crawling around. I said, sir, hey, here's the window. Come on out. And he started crawling toward the window. And by the time he got his head out of the window, crawling through the window, I could smell it. I'm telling you, this man was drunk as a hoot owl. He come out that window crawling, and he looked up at me, and you know what he said? He said, hey, man, have you seen my shoes? I thought, here we are upside down in the middle of the road. I said, sir, I'm just glad you're alive. I don't know nothing about your shoes. He said, okay, I'll be back in a minute. He crawls right back in. I see him in there. I'm thinking, man, this is crazy. But you know, the old boy found his shoes. Brother Easter, he came out, sat right there in the middle of the road, had on Brogan boots. How many of you know what that is? He laced them up. I was amazed he could even do that. And he tied his shoes. I said, buddy, what are you doing? I said, you're blessed to be alive. He said, oh, yes, I know that. He said, but I got to get my shoes on. I said, why you got to get your shoes on? He said, the police will be here in a little bit. I can't outrun them barefoot. I've got to go down through the woods. Well, what I'm trying to say, the old boy took off running, left me there with my vehicle and the upside down Blazer. And my point tonight, the old boy should have got hurt. But he was so drunk, it's kind of hard to hurt a person that's drunk. You know, I've been hurt at church. You've been hurt at church if you've gone for any length of time. But I tell you what, you just ignore that. Keep on going for God. Don't you reckon it hurt when those Roman lictors wrapped that flagellum around the naked body of Jesus and tore out flesh and blood and bone and fluid? Yeah, it hurt, but he just kept on going. You know why he kept on going? Because of what he said in Luke chapter 4. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me." The reason people quit when they get hurt, they're not empowered. They're not enabled. They're not strengthened. They're not controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Can the church say amen? Now, I'm not preaching yet, so don't start timing me. I'm just talking to you some things on my heart. Some of you remember Dr. Bill Kanoy. He's with the Lord now. He was a great Bible teacher, great professor, great pastor. And Dr. Kanoy said this of the Spirit-filled life. I was just a young preacher and heard him say, "It's like when a baby's born. The body gets in the air. Then the air gets in the body." He said, "It's like a poker that you put in the fireplace, and you put the poker in the fire, then the fire gets in the poker." He said, "It's like a dry sponge that you submerge in water. The sponge gets in the water, and then the water gets in the sponge." I wonder tonight, is there anybody here hungry and thirsty? Jesus said in Matthew 5:6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." The reason we can't seem to get people hungry to be Spirit-filled in these days is because they come to church already full. They're full of the internet. They're full of social media. They're full of movies. They're full of the things of this world. Friends, you can't get a vessel that's already full filled up anymore. I believe we need a good old emptying. Let's just empty ourselves from this whole world and let's get hungry for God for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm trying to get to my preaching. Would you look here in chapter 5? If you want to know the biblical way to be filled with the Spirit, how do you get filled with the Spirit, Brother Don? Verse number 1, I believe here's a good start. Paul says in Ephesians 5:1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." If you want to be Spirit-filled, if you want the most important thing in the life of a child of God, there must be a following. That is a following of God. Everybody's following something. Many are following the fads. Many are following politicians. Many are following the movie stars. But that's not how you get filled with the Spirit. You get filled with the Spirit by being a follower of God. The picture is a little small toddler sliding his hand up into the hand of his earthen father, and his father lead the way, protecting him, directing him, leading him, and guiding him. If you want to be Spirit-filled, you're going to have to pull your hand out of the world's hand and slide your hand up into the hand of the Heavenly Father. And then you can sing this song we sang as children, "Wherever He leads, I will go." Oh, tonight there must be a following. I got to move, but look in verse 11. Verse number 11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Please notice verse 13. "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." There must be a following. There must be a following. But number 2, there must be a forsaking. You see, It's not my job to stand here and try to tell you all the do's and don'ts of the Christian life. You got a pastor. God gave you a pastor after His own heart. God said He'll feed you with knowledge and understanding. How many of you believe that's the way it is? But I can tell you the answer to all your questions in verse number 13 about the do's and don'ts of the Christian life. Things I should not do as a Christian. Things I should do as a Christian. Paul said in verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. You see, the way we know what's right and wrong is we shine the light on it. Shine the light of God's Word on your practices, and thus you'll know if it's right or wrong. God help us tonight. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. It doesn't matter what we think about it. What matters is what thus saith the Lord. And if we shine this book on our practices, and our practices do not honor God, and the light has revealed it, it's time for doing some forsaking. Back when I was young, much of the revival preaching that I heard was men of God trying to get us to see the importance of forsaking this world. Some thought they were mean preachers. Some thought they were hard preachers. Some even thought they didn't love us. But oh, just the opposite. They loved us because they were trying to keep us from being destroyed by the things of this old world. Well, folks, I believe y'all see it clearly. I'm not stretching the truth tonight. There must be a following. There must be a forsaking. But would you look in verse 16? He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The word redeeming means making the most of it. It means buying it up. I wonder tonight in this great audience how much time we're wasting. We need to focus. Yes, there's got to be a following. Yes, there's got to be a forsaking. But there's going to have to be some focusing. You see, we got too many people who are planning to serve God someday. That's not what we need. We need folks to focus on the time we have right now. I've been at death's door in the last couple of years, three times, almost left here. Boy, it sure reminded me that I'm not here forever. And neither are you. I don't know how much time I have. I don't know how much time you have. But I want to focus on the time I have and give it to God Almighty. Give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was holding revival some time ago in a little country church in a place called Thurman, North Carolina. And I remember on Monday night, I had been there before, and I knowed most of the country folk in this church. But there was a family sitting about where pastor is and pastor's wife that I didn't recognize in that little country church. And I noticed the man was all excited. Boy, he was shouting. I mean, he was excited about being there. I didn't know what the deal was. Well, found out that he just got out of prison. He got saved. Somebody led him to Jesus in prison. And boy, he's out of prison. He's reunited with his family and they're in the house of God. His wife's a grinning ear to ear, and then there's two teenage girls. Well, I preached my heart out that night, kind of like I'm trying to do here tonight. And I remember giving the invitation, and them two girls, teenage girls, made their way to the altar. Pastor went and helped them, and I saw him opening his Bible, and he was showing them things in the Bible. I could see them girls were getting saved by the grace of God. About that time, their mama jumped up, ran down right in the midst of it. I assumed, Matt, that she was being supportive of her daughters, and there they were all praying. Finally, the pastor got up with the two two teenage girls and ask them what God did for them, but mama never did get up. And he said that he read them the scripture, they called on the Lord, and both of them testified that they got saved. Well, they went back to their seat. Mama's still here. I said, Pastor, looks like mama might need some help. He got down there with her and he began to talk to her, and we didn't know what was going on. All of a sudden, that gal came up a shouting, both hands in the air. It was like camp meeting on the altar. And we didn't know what happened to her. And she told the preacher and told the whole church, I thought I was saved all these years, but God showed me tonight that I never been saved, and I want everybody here to know that I just got saved. Well, everybody knew it, I promise. Everybody knew she got saved. I don't know if I ever remember somebody who just got saved, who got so on fire for God. Next night of the revival, she had visitors there. People got saved that week because of her. Her excitement in that little country church set the whole church in rejoicing. Boy, it's amazing what a good, red-hot new convert will do to the house of God. Well, she shouted. She brought visitors. People got saved. Her daughters were saved. Her husband saved. And I remember the last night, she told me, she said, Brother Don, her and her husband met me and said, hey, we're going to join this church. We're going to get baptized. And I said, I'm so happy for you. And she said, in 2 weeks, we're going down to the river and we're going to get baptized. Brother Don, would you come? You mean a lot to us. I said, ma'am, I'll be in another state that day, but I want y'all to take a lot of pictures and I want you to call me and tell me how it was. And they understood. Well, 2 weeks went by, and it's getting time for the baptism. It's Saturday before that Sunday that her and them teenage girls are going down in the river and getting baptized. Well, I get a phone call, and the pastor on the other end said, Brother Don, you remember? And he called her name. I said, yeah, 36-year-old mother on fire for God. He said, well, Brother Don, before I tell you what I'm going to tell you, these last 2 weeks, it hadn't stopped. She's bringing people to church. She has revived our church. Her spirit of being saved has done something for our church. I said, well, brother, that's fantastic. I'm glad she got saved. He said, but I got some bad news. I said, what's wrong? He said, her and her husband was out cutting down a tree. And when he cut that tree down, the tree kicked back, Brother Hollis, and hit that lady and killed her instantly. She's gone. She only had about 3 weeks after she got saved. You know, she was strong. She was young. She was healthy. She was on fire for God and had no clue. She only had about 3 weeks left. You see, none of us know that. And I'm glad that she focused on the time she had. And I want to tonight. What about you? Focus on the time that I have. One last thought. Not only a feeling, not only a following, not only a forsaking, not only a focusing, but there must be, back in verse 18, there must be a filling. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I asked Brother Brad if I could use this tonight for a couple of minutes. I want you to think about not the 59-year-old Don Anderson you're looking at, but the 19-year-old Don Anderson, freshly called to preach. I'd been going to hear some of the great preachers of our era, Brother Brad, and they were preaching about being filled with the Spirit. Man, they made me so hungry to be filled with the Spirit. I was trying to preach. I had what I called Brother Billy, a little trickle. That's what I call what I had. I'm thankful the Lord was helping me. But I know I didn't have that flow and that power that them men of God I was hearing had. And I remember one Saturday evening we were having a Sunday school class get together. Some good clean fun, the young adult class. And I remember, being that I was just called to preach, they asked me if I would preach at the end of the class meeting. Well, I'd been hearing one in particular at that time, Preacher Sammy Allen, who's with the Lord, about being filled with the Spirit. I was so hungry to be filled with the Spirit. I'd preached a couple of times, did the best I could do. But I remember being so nervous that night. And they were playing softball, nothing wrong with what they were doing. They were having fun. I would normally have been in the softball, but I lost appetite for softball. Nobody could see me but God. And I was walking around the outer perimeter of that ball field. And I remember begging God to help me. I wanted that feeling. I wanted to be filled. I wanted that flow and that anointing like them men of God that I was hearing had. I remember the ball game was over. Everybody had fun. They had hamburgers and hot dogs after. I'd have normally been all in all that. Nothing wrong with nothing they were doing. But I'd done lost appetite for ball. I'd lost appetite for hot dogs and hamburgers. All I could think about was when this is over, I got to preach again. And I need something more than I've been having. And I remember they brought out a little old podium, Brad, kind of like this, but it was made of a 2x4 and 2 pieces of plywood. How many of you saw many of those through the years? I believe my brother was a teacher of that class at that time. And he got up and said, "Hey, we've had a great get-together tonight. Good food, good fun, good fellowship. And we thought it'd be good, since Don's just called to preach, to let him finish the evening with a sermon." And they brought out that little podium, and I stood there shaking and trembling. I'll never forget, I read from John chapter 9. You know the story of where the blind man got his eyes opened? And you remember how that religious bunch tried to get him to say that Jesus was a sinner. Well, this boy ain't been saved long, just got his eyes opened. And finally, he got up some courage and he told that crowd, "Hey, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. But this I know, wherein I was blind, now I can see." And when I said that, I kid you not, it was like the floodgates opened in my soul. It was like the dam broke. It was like my little trickle turned into the Niagara Falls. It was a flow like I'd never seen or experienced. I quickly gave the invitation, and all of them were so supportive of me. They all were for me. Nobody there rebellious against me. And man, God broke us all down. We wept and cried around the altars there under that old shelter. You know, I'll never forget that. But when I left there that night, please don't think less of me, okay? I want to be transparent. Maybe I can be transparent and help somebody. I left there that night. I wasn't pulling my suspenders. I wasn't saying, "Hey, hey, the next Billy Sunday's here." I wasn't saying nothing like, "Hey, man, I'm ready now." I left that night more scared than I was before. You say, "Preacher, what you scared of now? God did what you asked." Yeah, He did. But He showed me something. He carried me somewhere that night in my preaching that I hadn't never been before. And I know if I ever get back there, it'll have to be Him. It'll have to be Him, because I can't get back there. And Now that was just 19, 20 years old. Well, I'm 59 now. I closed the meeting last night, and before I went in the service, I asked God. I said, God, that same thing you did for me as a 19-year-old boy, and you carried me somewhere in my preaching that I can't get to by myself. I need you to do that again. And guess what? He did it for me last night. Before I came to this service tonight, I said, Lord, what you did for me last night and where you carried me last night, I can't get back there, Lord. I can't get back there unless you help me. Tonight, He's helping me again. We've got to get past ourselves. We've got to get the power of God. Now, I know we've got a lot of preachers here, and I'm your friend, not fussing at you. But your congregations and mine, they need us to ignite. They need us to burn. They need us to blaze. The only way we're going to get the heat back at the house of God, it's got to start in the pulpit. But it's not just the pulpit. It's the deacons. It's the trustees. It's the ladies. It's the members. It's the young. It's the old. This matter of being spirit-filled is for everybody. And I wonder tonight, are you tired of having no joy? Tired of having no victory? Tired of having no power in your life? Wouldn't you like to have a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit of God? As we stand all over the house with heads bowed tonight, maybe I can get a musician up here. How many would lift your hand this evening and say, Brother Anderson, the message was for me. I know I'm saved and I know I need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Can I see your hand? Look at all those hands. I wonder how many would follow the pastor's lead tonight. One thing I remember during revival about Dr. Caswell, he didn't expect y'all to do something he wouldn't do. He always led the way. And as they're playing tonight, what a beautiful sight. Saints coming to be filled with the Spirit. Tired of no victory. Tired of no power. Tired of no joy. God can do things with you beyond comprehension. That is, if you get filled and I get filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Folks are coming. Folks are praying. I've ran fast tonight. I know there's a lot more good stuff coming. But the greatest thing that's ever happened to this preacher boy you're looking at tonight, outside salvation, was that Saturday night that he filled me with the Holy Spirit for the very first time. It's been an ongoing process. Folks are praying. Folks are calling on the Lord. I sense some hunger and thirst in the church tonight. You'd be amazed how much more you'll enjoy serving God when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a joy to be here tonight. Me and old Matt drove all night. We enjoyed it. I say it's a joy to serve God.